I graduated from college, and that didn't matter anymore either. All that mattered to me was that God was effective. Were people better off with God than without God? And I have definitely found that here at Fort Collins Mennonite Fellowship. Basically, this is my favorite church, and I love bringing people here even when I know they'll be offended. Sometimes it's really good to be offended. And it's really easy for me to say that when it's about someone else. But what does it look like when we are offended here at Fort Collins Mennonite Fellowship? Personally, I think this can be one of our strong suits. First of all, I think the things that offend the people in this church are things that should offend people. When the city offends us and disagrees with what we consider basic human rights, we take action. This church, we hear people out, we make the compromises we absolutely have to get the job done. I think people here are really good and really active at being offended. And that's good. It's good that we're good, because being offended is part of pretty much any relationship. Sometimes I think I'm doing really well in life, and then I get into a close relationship, and turns out I was getting away with a lot of things. And a friend who can't tell me I'm wrong is not a good friend to me. A parent who can't correct me isn't parenting me. And a God who doesn't have any views that upset me, or who can't challenge me, or offend me, or change me, what good is that God? I went to summer camps a lot as a kid, and inevitably every year there'd be some kid who'd get there and tell us about his girlfriend. And, you know, 3 or 4 days into the week, we'd be like, "You don't have a girlfriend." how did we know? Because if someone is like, "Oh, my girlfriend loves that I don't shower for the first 4 days of camp," or "My girlfriend really likes when I put on bug spray inside the tent. She thinks coughing's hilarious." Like, there's no way, because in any real relationship with a real person, eventually they're going to disagree with you, or call you out, or prove you wrong. So do we have a God who can do that for us? Or do we have sort of a political yes man spiritualized? Does your God say to you, like he says to me when I open that inspired, infallible Bible, "Wow, Tim, what are the odds? I'm also a 21st century liberal Mennonite. All of our views are exactly the same. I've waited so long for your generation to interpret me correctly." Unlike that, those other generations and the mega church down the street. And it's so much easier to see this in other people. When a white Republican has a white Republican God, it hurts your brain. You're like, do you not see that you've made God in your own image? It's so much harder for me to see it when I do it.
Amen.
I don't know, we may have to pull the plug on.
I think sometimes part of the reason it's I can get away with letting myself off the hook is because I see my God as more accepting than theirs. I see my God as accepting of all peoples and all religions. But then I think even that is a very specific truth claim that contradicts their religions, because they don't see it that way, and it excludes their worldviews and suits me perfectly. And so I'm not up here to tell you that I know what God is or isn't like, and naturally my views of him have evolved so much throughout my life and will get better. But I'm just saying I've become very suspicious of myself whenever I find my God being something convenient for me. Keith and I were reading James recently, chapter 2, where he talks about the sin of favoritism, of partiality. How if a rich man comes into your church with fancy clothes and a just gold ring wearing Trump looking guy, and you give him the best seat in the church and then say to a poor person, sit at my feet, then you've committed the sin of partiality. And reading that, my first thought was like, James, have I got a church for you? The church of your dreams. There's no way I would do that here. I'm not guilty of the sin of partiality because here the poor are welcome. And if a rich Trump-looking guy came in looking here, I might make him sit at my feet and I might preach the whole, and then, wait a minute, I'm totally guilty of the sin of partiality. I just flipped it in my favor.
Amen.
And I always do that. There have been so many messages I've heard preached here where I've sat there feeling really good about myself and thought like, yeah, you tell him. And only later realize, tell who? Like, no sermons here have been preached to conservatives unless there were conservatives here. Those sermons were preached to me.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I'm exactly the sort of person who can hear a message that says, love your enemy as yourself, and think, yeah, my enemy should do that. So when you open your Bible or book or email or whatever media or just enter into prayer, do you ever hear God talking to your enemies or your government more than he's talking to you? Does your God know more than you do? In the 50s, there was a missionary named Elizabeth Elliot who she was serving in Ecuador. And her husband and all of her friends were murdered by the very people they were serving. And what she did in response to that was keep serving them for years and obeying the calling that she felt she had received, until finally someone said, Elizabeth, how could you obey a God who would do something so horrific and offensive to your family? And Elizabeth Elliot said, a God small enough to be understood is not great enough to be worshipped. When I was a kid, my parents offended me constantly. A superficial example, one cookie for dessert. When you're a kid, that makes no sense. Cookies are good. My parents, I thought, were good. What's the disconnect here? One of these things must not be good, and I know the cookies. So then you get older and you realize the distance between my child's brain and my parents' understanding was too great for me to see that they were caring for me. And so I took offense. If there's a God, if such a thing as a God exists, just conceptually, how much greater would that distance have to be? How much likelier would it be that whenever you open the Bible or encounter that God, you're offended, things don't make sense to you, you're made uncomfortable, and you're tempted to say, that part's not true, or just reinterpret it in your favor? One of the parts of the Bible that consistently, it's not just one part, it's throughout the Bible, that offends me is the idea that I need to be saved from sin. It just goes against the way I was raised to be independent and self-reliant and to pull yourself up. And this, I mean, I know I make mistakes, but that's not how the Bible talks about it. The Bible says that I'm inherently flawed, that I'm stained, that I'm so filthy that a God had to die for me, and now I'm to spend the rest of my life feeling grateful for that. But I never asked for that, and when Christ says, take up your cross and follow me, I get that. Self-sacrifice is honorable and good. But when he takes up the cross for me, and I read the description of him being bloodied and stripped and tortured and killed, and it's my fault, it's my sin, that bothers me. I reject that. But if there's one place or one group of people that can always make me think sin not only is real, but the way the Bible talks about it is good, it's Alcoholics Anonymous and Overeaters Anonymous and all those 12-step programs where everyone there knows exactly how ugly they can be and can tell you in detail how ugly they can be, and everyone else in the room can hear it and laugh to the point of tears because it's so true and so ugly and so forgiven. You can't walk into a room of people like that and be like, you're good people. They know they're not, and they don't need to be. You can't tell them there's no such thing as sin, but they can tell you there's such a thing as recovery, and that the two are always there, one step in either direction, sin and grace, one made possible by the other. If you haven't had the opportunity to see how ugly you can be, it might be harder to feel how good grace can be. Grace can even be offensive. The idea that God sees you as so helplessly flawed that he had to die for you. But if I can turn off my Western, independent, prideful, millennial brain for 5 seconds and hear that gospel, what I hear is that God sees me as so valuable that he was glad to die for me. And when he went to his hometown, the people who knew him were too offended by him to let him do any miracles. They were too offended to think that they could need something from this carpenter's son. But blessed are the poor in spirit, for they cannot kid themselves about what they need. Do we have a God who can prove us wrong like a good parent? Do we have a God who can call us out like a good friend? Or do we have a summer camp girlfriend God? Do we have a God who's too accommodating to be useful? Let's stay suspicious of our own understanding. Let's make that what sets us apart from the people we disagree with. Not that we're right and they're wrong, but that we're more able to see that we're wrong. I am so sad to be leaving this church and so disappointed that I won't be able to find one like it, because I already know that's the case. If I have one dying wish, it's that you guys will still be here when I visit, and you'll still be you. You'll still be offensive. You'll still be offended, but not just by the bad people around us. That we'll be offended by the good ones too, and especially the best one. And that we'll let it change us. Or what's the use?
Tim?
Tim, where are you going?
Yes, we want... Yes. You don't have to leave.
Yeah, why are you
We want you to stay.
Where are you going?
Are you waiting for us to...
No, I'm graduating and
here.
I haven't. Here. I'm graduating this week and I have an internship in Minnesota for the summer, and then might move to Chicago or see where I end up.
What was your major?
Occupational therapy.
Ooh. Where in Minnesota?
Rochester.
Ooh. And then Chicago?
That's the plan, but I have lots of time to figure it out.
You don't have a job yet?
No.
And if we found one for you,
he wants Chicago.
I'm leaning towards Chicago.
Well, I'm just trying to see what our chances are. Years of a job out there in occupational therapy. Keep letting me know, and we'll get after it. But we've been so grateful to have you.
Yes.
You know? And I know I've had a little more chance than some to get to know you, and really do appreciate questions and sincerity.
Mm-hmm.
Very sincere. Which can get you in trouble sometimes. But anyway, but thanks for being a part of us and participating, and I'm just sorry we didn't get this done sooner.
Yeah.
But let us know when you're back.
I will. I hope to be back in the fall. So I'll definitely see you guys on.
Okay.